then I will hand over to the department to take you through the presentation, and then I will allow public input and questions directly at the end.
South Africa, then we also see that this bill will be in accordance with and applicable to all people in the Republic of South Africa and all other people when it comes to managing indigenous knowledge. Then also three, also the goals as we see in the proposed legislature. The main goal that is around the protection of indigenous knowledge, which is now within the indigenous communities, and also the misuse, mishandling of the rights and the regulations of the fair and the fair use of indigenous knowledge. Also, the bill makes provision for mechanisms when it comes to the accreditation of the certification of indigenous knowledge practitioners. Section 3 or Article 3, also for the also to put systems and in place within the department, also referred to as NICSO, it's the National Indigenous Knowledge Systems Office that has been put in place. Also for the rights, the functions, responsibilities of this office, that is the next step. Article 6, also to give powers to the minister to use qualified people with a lot of expertise and knowledge as the head of NICSO. Therefore, such a head will be responsible for the administration and also the general management of NICSO. Article 7, also for the appointment or putting in place a panel of advisors, which will consist of representatives of the various relevant government departments, and also for those who contain all this knowledge, industries and people who have knowledge specializing in indigenous knowledge. Article 8, the identification of various roles of this panel of advisories, also to advise NICSO around problematic issues surrounding being helpful, also to assist indigenous communities around the specific functions of NICSO. Article 9, to make provision for the protection of indigenous knowledge, also for section 25 of the Constitution, also the protection of such indigenous communities and their knowledge. Article 10, also to make provision for protection of indigenous knowledge around specific topics and subject matter, if it also complies with certain knowledge, as we see in clause 11 of this bill. Also number 11, also describing the terms around protection of indigenous knowledge, as we have found in article 9. Indigenous knowledge qualifies for the protection of if such knowledge or indigenous knowledge has been handed down from generation to generation within these communities, and also such knowledge could have started within these specific communities, and also applicable to the fact that it could be linked to social identity within these communities. Article 12, making provision that the very safe protection of this knowledge lies within the trustees and in those that have the authority and power to take charge of these, of this knowledge, and who will safeguard it within indigenous communities, and also will take the full responsibility and will take absolute responsibility for the protection of the rights of such communities. 13, makes provision for the fact that these communities who have this knowledge in their possession will have sole right to the provisions that might come from the commercial use of, and also get the acknowledgement and recognition of the source of this knowledge, and may those who may not have access to it or use it will be restricted. Article 14, also the provision of the acknowledgement, the procedures, accreditation of assessors, and also certain conditions linked to accreditation. 15, also the prescription of the procedures, acknowledgement and the certification of Indigenous knowledge, practitioners and also the conditions linked to certification. Section 16, also the prescriptions and putting in place the safeguard of the register of appointments by NECSO. These registers, or this register, will also look at the of the indications and appointments of these assessors. And also Article 17, also the registration office that needs to be put in place for the registration of Indigenous knowledge. 18, Article 18, Section 18, gives the minister the authority to appoint the right person as the curator and the protector of Indigenous knowledge according to the Act, according to 1994. The curator will be responsible for the management of Indigenous knowledge, the registration's office as well. The curator will have to also look at trustees of Indigenous people and also empower them and represent them as well. Article 19 looks at the maintenance of a register system for Indigenous knowledge by NECSO, as prescribed by the Minister in accordance to creating certain procedures and conditions for the access to it, transfer, management and safe protection of registered Indigenous knowledge. The curator's responsibilities and rights and requirements around record keeping and also protection of this is prescribed very clearly. The register will serve as proof of any matters and also as it has been put by Indigenous knowledge keepers and will be kept in place. Section 20, making provision for trustees or a person that has got the rights to have access to Indigenous communities to also apply to the NECSO curators for Indigenous knowledge. The curator will then be acknowledging it and also linked to the prescriptions and restrictions and could also reject it if it does not comply with the register as has been put by Section 11. And then number 21 also makes provision to the fact that the register will make the register available for inspection by members of the public and also conditions linked to this, that documents linked to the registration must only be made available if such a member of the community and a member of the public has written a sworn affidavit and will comply with all the rules and regulations. 21 says that a certificate will be given by the curator if any record or anything linked to this knowledge as acknowledged by this bill. Such a certificate will be valid for everybody and if there is any court case whatsoever. And then 23 sees that the rights around Indigenous knowledge will be like this, that a person can, if they use such knowledge, can do that knowing that they're registered and if there are definitely conditions that such a person can also have all the knowledge and be linked to this and have the and have ownership to it before such knowledge is used. 24, it says that any interested third parties can apply to the fact that they can have access to the register in such a way. The community, as owners of Indigenous knowledge, will also have the opportunity to Thank you. also getting funding and also be partnership to this and also the use of any technology. Give opportunities in 26 for any persons, if they do have this knowledge and use it, for commercial opportunities to apply for a license to have rightful use of that indigenous knowledge. And that the person who applies signs with the trustees of the relevant communities for the use of such indigenous knowledge, as facilitated by the Nexo person involved. If it is functioning properly, the person who has the license will get royalties for 20 years from the start of the license, so that that person can also extend this to the communities. They will have to pay royalties for at least 50 years from the date of the license provisions are being made. This will have to be paid out to the relevant person. 27, clause 7, provides for the minister to appoint members of the dispute resolution committee on an ad hoc basis to resolve any dispute arising from the bill. Clause 28 provides that any third party, whether it's for commercial purposes or not, in such a way that is in contradiction with the license terms and also poses problematic issues, they will be found guilty, and if they are found guilty, they will have to pay the prescribed penalties. Clause 29 sets out the process and the conditions for the protection of indigenous knowledge, resources originating from foreign jurisdictions, and in instances where indigenous knowledge originates in one or more indigenous communities in foreign jurisdictions. Clause 30 provides for multiple claims to indigenous knowledge. Within this context, any remuneration payable under a benefit sharing agreement must be apportioned equally among the trustees. Clause 31 gives the grant the Minister the power to make regulations on any matter pertaining to the protection, promotion, development and management of Indigenous knowledge and other procedures for the registration of Indigenous knowledge and giving licenses for the use of Indigenous knowledge by Nexa or any other parties or any incidental or ancillary matters. Clause 32 pertains to the bill in relation to other laws. And also complying with this is not linked to other legislation. 33 makes provision for the state that indigenous communities have got this and they can register within 12 months from the effective date in relation to the continuities of indigenous knowledge. If this knowledge is used already, a license agreement must be made with trustees within 12 months from the effective date in relation to the continued use of indigenous knowledge. The last one, 34, provides with a short title and thank you very much. Bye, thank you dafoor. Ek weet nie of jy iets wil byvoeg nie. Goed. I'll give an opportunity now, if you give an indication of, before you give any input, any questions around the submissions. Everybody clear on the above? Clear? Lede, ek wil dan protocol breek vanavond en sê, ek wil eers gaan na die lede van die publiek en dan gaan ek vir julle 'n kans gee om ook 'n vraag te vra as julle dan wil. Any input from anybody that needs to say anything? I'm going to allow for 4 questions at a time, so I'll give an opportunity for the department to also write this down and then they can also give their feedback. Before you start, give us your name for the record and also if you are from a certain organization, please also do that. Thank you, Chair.
My name is John Aron.
I'm John Aron.
I'm
a member from the ANC. And because this thing is very lightweight deep for us, it's important for us to come and see that when we put legislation in place, that everything that's a problem for us is included and acknowledged within the Act. Also, I want to say to you, Chair, that since my birth, South Africa has a constitution excluding everybody, and now people must be included. Not forced to be included, because every single day I experience with the good constitution that we have. South Africa has got one of the biggest and best constitutions in the whole world. But with the good constitution we have, there is still suppression, also division and discrimination. And also in the Western Cape. The Western Cape, we see that we have our traditional colored people, we have all the traditional leaders and homes of colored people, but in the Western Cape it is so that people are discriminated against. So what worries me actually is that when this legislature is completed, we can't see an immediate change. The biggest thing that worries me with all the legislation that we have in place in our country, there isn't really an implementation period. Also not an evaluation period. Also not somebody that will see to it. If this act is not complied with, I'm in a very difficult case of racism, and I don't understand how our government and our leaders and the professional qualified people interpret the constitution. Racism really is a crime, but if this is investigated, there are lots of excuses, and that's my question and problem around it. The upgrading, the education, the maintenance, also the provision of indigenous peoples with this act that is recommended here. I can assure you in many instances when it's implemented according to these sections, our people have always been disadvantaged, because if there's a clever advocate or lawyer, it's always seen to the fact that we have always been deleted. So please take my input and make sure that when this act is accepted as legislation, that we put a clause in there that assures the implementation of an implementation process, an evaluation process, to make sure that this has been suggested by the Act works for all communities, not just for parts of the communities. And thirdly, I hear from them. I don't know how to be compiled. Will they have the powers it's implemented in the right way? I went through all the recommendations. We must make sure that we really look at the elements within the legislation, that those people who are served by this, they are protected. I want to say to you as well, Chair, that in South Africa, I have discovered there are only those who are learned, and they are heard. And those who are not literate, they are not actually heard. We must make sure that the language we speak must be accepted and understood by everybody, so that when we implement and and also declare and interpret, that is also that is accepted to everybody living here and not just part of the country. Thank you. Thanks for your input. Number two, I think it's you. Good evening, Chief Abraham Johnson. I want to give acknowledgement to all the leaders, traditional leaders, all their guests as well. I come from Oudtshoorn. My question that I want to ask you is, how will the youth benefit from these projects? It's only a regulation as to now. It will take more structure later on. How will that benefit? I've got a very big passion for our youth. So how will we be making sure in our areas, which is very, very, very problematic, where will and how will they benefit from these projects? Thank you. I also feel very passionate about the youth. Before I continue to the third person, I want to ask Member Makaleni. I want to welcome her. The person next to you. Good evening, everybody. I'm Chief Ben Oof. I'm from the Khoisan, the District Nizer. I want to ask you I freely informed that acknowledgement is given to the indigenous people, the communities. Therefore, I want to ask you this question. The indigenous communities are known by their projects, their herbs, their mannerisms, and how they use herbs. I want to ask you first on specific areas that don't really belong to the communities. And therefore, I want to ask this question. A point to add to that is there are lots of indigenous herbs on land that the past century has not been utilized. And I really feel, because we have got this opportunity, in the first place, we must be able to use this. It's not registered in anybody's names. We must get first choice to purchase this land or to acquire this land. Goeienaand, my name is Chikajika. Ek is die professor van intellectuele eiendom, professor by Stellenbosch Universiteit. Ek het baie om te sê, maar gegewe min tyd. Ek dink daar's 2 punte wat ek wil beklemtoon. Dit is 'n baie moeilike saak, die hele ding oor inheemse kennis. Ek sal het baie duidelik stel dat hierdie 'n baie moeilike gebied is om wetgewing te maak, en ek wil die gelukwens, die departement van tegnologie en hoe hulle hierdie saak aanpak. Hulle is die eerste wat geïdentificeerd is as 'n kwessie. Ek dink dit was vroeg in die jaar 2000, maar wat ongelukkig gebeur het, is dat het departement van handel en nywerheid het ook met die project begin, en daar is die intellectuele wetgeving en die wat hier die departement van handel en nywerheid aanvaard het. Wat het wil doen is om sekere stukke kennis te bewaar en het in te sluit by die wetgeving. En het doen so op 'n verskriklike manier. Dit gaan daar oor dat die mens net onsekerheid bring en ook te doen verskriklike skade aan ons intellektuele wette, of dit dan aanvaard word, al dan nie. Ek dink ook ons sal beslis daar sal ons gelag wees. Ek wil dit so sterk sê, want almal gaan van ons lag, want dit maak 'n gemors van die hele ding. So ek ondersteun heel hartig die poging vir die voorsiening van wetgewing, die spesiale wetgewing wat te doen het met iets wat verskil van dinge wat beskerm word deur alle ander wetgewing. As daar een ding is wat ek baie graag meer as enigiets anders wil hê, is dat hierdie stuk wetgewing moet die intellektuele eiendomswette herroep. Hierdie is vir my nie onderhandelbaar. Natuurlik ook, daar is 'n geveg hierso, want dis tussen die seer en die DDI. Maar mens moet dan regtig vir hierdie goed in gedagte hou. DDI spandeer baie tyd en pogings op hulpbronne waar die stuk wetgewing maar regtig vaar. Dit doen baie skade, en hierdie is by ver die verkose route en het die aanvaarding van baie praktisyne, akademici. Dit sê, kom ons gaan met die DDC projekte. Ek is nie seker vir hoe die wetgewing regtig gaan nie. Ek het kritiek daaroor ook, en ek sal baie binnekort daaroor praat ook. Wat dit beteken is dat wat ons moet doen is kry daai stuk wetgewing teruggeroep. Then speaking more about this piece of legislation and what het die stuk wetgewing wat wij klaar daarvan is dat het bekommer oor die impak wat het al hee op Suid-Afrikaanse jong mense. Ek is baie bly dat kommentaar gemaak was oor wat het gaan doen vir ons jeug. Ons lewe in 'n globale omgewing. Innoverende jong mense, kreatiewe jong mense. Julle sal al gesien het, dat daar al kwestie is met Duma, Makosa en die ontwerp wat hier daar daar is. Wat ek hou daarvan is nie die feit dat hulle ontwerp een afdruk was nie, maar Makosa en Laduma. Interessante ding daar vir my is een jong persoon vat hulle traditionele ontwerpe en ontwerp het weer vir die nieuwe generatie. Ons wil dit sien en ons wil hee dat hulle trots moet wees op die feit dat hulle goed weer kan herontwerp en dit een nieuwe interpretatie gee. Kulture is dynamisch en dit is wat moet gebeur. My bekommernis is hierdie stuk wetgewing en kom ons wees baie duidelik hieroor. Hierdie stuk wetgewing sal net te doen staan en met betrekking hier op Suid-Afrika. Te gaan met hierdie type van wetgewing is ons bezig om een baie, baie problematische area in te gaan. Hierdie stuk wetgewing het niks te doen met enig iemand anders in die wereld nie. So, het het net te doen met Suid-Afrika in Australië of een Franse persoon of een Braziliaanse persoon of wie ook al kan kom en inspiratie kry van die Deli kunst wat ook al en hulle kan dan gaan maak daarmee wat hulle wil in hulle eie land want daar is geen universele consensus oor die saak nie. Maar waar een jong Suid-Afrikaanse ontwerper as die wetgeving aanvaard word kan dit potentieel te doen met die regering bureaucratie om toestemming te kry om innoverende goed te doen met hulle eie culturele ontwerpe en dit is vir my een probleem. Ons is bezig om potentieel creativiteit te kniehalde en ook om ter weer om eindomsrechte te skep oor hierdie goed. Ek dink dit is baie problematisch ons boord, ons skiet ons af in die voet door hiermee te begin. Ek kan verstaan dat waar wetgeving rechtig waar nodig is. Wat sekere goed is sekere ontwerpe wat ook al het is wat een spirituele of geloofs oriëntasie, dit sal mense definitief baie kwaad maak as het gebruik word op 'n kommersiële basis of nie op die regte manier nie. Hierdie type ding sal ek voor moet slaven geraak, moet dan vir die rest moet dan nie bureaucratie wees of ons jong mense te sê hoe hulle dan goed te gebruik wat hulle rondom hulle sien, kennis wat bestaan, wat hulle wil herontdek en ook verder gebruik vir die voordeel van Suid-Afrika en ook een spel van ander kan wees van ons self weer sien. So, ek hou nie van die benadering nie, maar dit baie, baie beter IPLA Departement van Handel en Nijverheid en as ek nie DST kan ontstuig om die benadering te nie dan moet hulle ten minste seker maak dat daar die stuk wetgewing roep word hier die wetgewing anders gaan hulle al die goed vernietig wat hierdie stuk wetgewing behaal is. Dit sal een groot probleem veroorsaak oor wat alreeds potentieel goed bedoel is. Ek waarskiet in die type benadering. Ek dink is kortzichtig. Ek dink ons moet meer selfvertrouwe hier wie ons is. As jy nou waterfront te ry, so jy teem privacy in New York, Malibu, so wat jy inweer vir die Eiffeltoring daarop, nog iets wat jy kan koop met Skotse patrone daarop, so al haar te dra, sonder om aan te ding. Ons dink jy dit verkeerd nie, maar even skielik as iemand in Parijs, as die belly ingesverde tee en vraag, dan op die verskrikkelike reaksie, kulturele reaksie, hoekom? Hoekom leef ons nog steeds met hierdie slagoffer ingesteldheid? Ons is globale burger, ons is demokrasie, ons is die internet, ons moet trots wees, en ons moet ons kinders vertel om trots te wees op wat hulle is. Om die team te draai wat New York sê nie, draai een wat sê Mbela. En wees trots op. Met jou eie ontwerp. Spreef jou eie kultuur. Departement toelaat om te reageer op die eerste ronde en dan sien ek die hande vir die volgende tweede ronde. Wat vroeger nie beskerm is nie.
Het
is nie een makkelike ding nie, want soos ek aangedui het vroeger, by die openbare verhore vroeger, daar is baie belange groepe en hulle belange sal verskil. Hulle belange sal ook meer wees oor wat hulle, waar hulle gaan voordeel kry, of wat hulle gaan verloor, as hierdie wetsomwerp of
wetboord.
Die departement het nie al die antwoorde nie. Ons is gelukkig, want ons het die wetsomwerp voorgestel, wat die artikel 67 wetsomwerp is, wat dan toelaat vir diegene wat die meeste impak het, dus die provinsies, die gemeenskappe, en geleenthede om hulle insette te lever in die wetsontwerp. Wanneer dit dan in die wet word, sal al daardie wat weggelaat is, wat nie oorweeg is nie, ingesluit sal wees in die wetsontwerp. So wanneer dit dan in die wetsontwerp word, spreek het alles toe op holistische wijse. Miskien nie in die eerste gedeelte nie, maar Ons weet, wet is iets wat voortdurend hersien word en nog gekyk word. So as daar enige weglatings was, wanneer die hersieningstydperk kom, word dit net doodwillig versterk. Ek kan reageer op sekere van die vrae wat ons gevra het vanavond. Die eerste een is meer kommentaar as vraag. Dit gaan juist oor die feit dat dit is die feit dat Afrika baie goeie beleide het, maar ons is baie arm met implementatie. Die kommentaar was oor hoe dit dan is dat dit sal verskil van die ander. Ek denk die klausule wat gaan oor die daarstelling van die kantoor
is one that more or less guarantees the implementation of the deal. That office is going to be a special service delivery unit, which is going to be an arm's length office from the Department of Science and Technology. Why an arm's length? Why a special service delivery unit? Precisely before. After 2004, according to the original knowledge system, an office was established within the Department of Science and Technology to coordinate all the activities around international knowledge. But the policy was
the beleid, each elke regeringsdepartement gehuil en ons weet almal ons weet dat daar baie disciplines is wat uitwerking het op besluite.
So the Department of Science and Technology was operating or is operating the office that is currently operating under the
mandate. Dit is onder die mandaat van Wetenskap en Technologie. Dit gaan juist oor navorsing en ontwikkeling, alles wat die kantoor doen, sê dit 2006 tot vandag toe, was op 'n sekere mate besig om te konsentreer op kwessies, op onderhandeling en navorsing. Dit geef die kantoor een geleentheid om verder te gaan as die mandaat van die Departement van Wetenskap en Technologie. Die klausule, soos jy sal sien, gedurende die aanbieding, dit gaan so ver om te sien wat die kantoor sal doen en wie sal wat doen. Dit is die rol van die curator, wat verantwoordelik sal wees vir die registrasie van hierdie kennis, geregistreerd deur die trustee van die gemeenskap.
Gives the minister the powers to appoint an advisory committee. It talks to offences and penalties. In other words, if there is a penalty that has been, if there's an offence that has happened in the process, then the office has been given a mandate to deal with such. I think that gives some comfort to say once the bill becomes an act, the office then will have to start operating. Maybe just for your information, a feasibility study has been conducted and a business case has been approved. And this business case and the feasibility study were commissioned through the National Treasury. And then that gives an obligation to the office to function as per the report and the recommendations of National Treasury. The second question was talking to the youth and how the youth will be affected and impacted through this bill. What the existing office has done so far is to establish IKS documentation centres in the provinces. And all 9 provinces, as we speak, have the documentation centres. The only downside is that our provinces are very big. And because this was a pilot process, there was only one documentation center in a province. And you can imagine if in the whole of Western Cape there is going to be one documentation center, only few people would know about it and only few would access it. Now, as I'm indicating to you, that is only a pilot process, and this was done just to test the waters if the communities will be receptive to what they to the initiative. And we it has proven to work, and how we did that was to use the youth in those communities as a starting point so that they, one, get to understand and appreciate indigenous knowledge as a discipline that is not that other...
What happened, as we all know. And that was to affirm the values that the IPS has in their livelihood. Secondly, we, as a department, developed a baseline indigenous knowledge system that is currently housed by three universities. The previous indigenous foundation universities, one of them is Northwest, Limpopo, and Denver. And also that was a pilot project from outside. The intention was to get indigenous knowledge into the mainstream curriculum of education. And the target even there was to attract
om dit op te nemen als een van daaraf, wat ook al eens doen, zal een certificaat
krijgen.
Het is van mijn generatie, het geloof dat is iemand iets weet, het is een certificaat. Dus die reden hoekom die wetenwijze registratie bevorder van inheemse groepen. Weet dan wat waar gebeur en wat wie die kennis heeft.
And I also want, while I'm still at that point, to comment to the question that was raised,
that talked to the questions around land and the ground.
I want us to make a distinction between the different The government has assigned the real government departments to do certain things, and they have given them the money to run with those issues. The question of land is not the money of the Department of Science and Technology, and neither is this bill talking about anything around land. The bill that is in front of you doesn't talk about resources. I would say genetic resources or biological resources. Precisely because there are countries that are mandated to do that and they are forbidden. What this bill does is to ask a question, what do you know? If there is a resource that is the money of the Department of Environmental Affairs, and the community that has indigenous knowledge associated with that resource, the Department of Science and Technology looks at the knowledge and not the resource. But it looks at that connection between your knowledge and that resource. But the resource becomes the mandate of the Department of Environmental Affairs. Same thing applies to the practice. If I were to take an example of African traditional medicine, for instance, we have practitioners that are in that African traditional medicine space, and the Department of Health that is mandated to deal with the practice. By practice, I mean the know-how, the technical know-how. We are not dealing with how do you mix your concoction to come up with this end product. That becomes the responsibility of the Department of Health. What the deal is interested in is to know what, at what level are you at in terms of the knowledge. So I just wanted to make this decision so that as we continue the discussion, we know that, for instance, I cannot respond on any issue that talks to land. I cannot talk to any issue pertaining to and the thought whether they are using it or not, and who should own it, and how they should use it. That is not the responsibility and the mandate of this bill. Another question was raised, and it also followed a comment, an extensive comment from Prof. Nestori. I think I'll start with the easy one. The easy one talks to the repeal of E-Plan. I am fortunate today because I have a professor next to me and a leader group behind me. So I do not have this small non-entity in between. So all those legal issues I'll throw them behind me. All those academic issues I'll throw them this side. So professor is recommending very strongly that this bill repeals Islam. From a legal point of view, the Department of Science and Technology cannot repeal a bill that belongs to another department. But I think I will give that one to my colleague behind me to explain the why. But it is a fact that any department, for instance, the CI cannot repeal this bill. It is our minister who will repeal our bill. Similarly, our minister cannot repeal the bill from another government department. And we take a note of the concerns raised by the professor. And I think we will still have a long way to go before we understand one another, because there are two schools of thought here. There is a conventional IT system, and it has its own ways and criteria of doing things. We are dealing with a different subject matter here, which also needs to be treated as such. Indigenous knowledge should be protected in its own terms. And in order to avoid a situation where we would try to mail indigenous knowledge to IT, would put us in the same situation that he was referring to, where we would mess up what is already there. We have no intention of interfering with ITR, hence we wanted to come up with an alternative, knowing very well that if we are to protect indigenous knowledge using their, when I say they are, I mean the conventional IT, somehow we are not going to talk together. The first thing that is going to make us fight is the eligibility criteria. For indigenous knowledge to be protected under this bill, it must be passed from generation to generation. And one of the criteria for the IT, conventional IT, if I can remember one, it must be novel. It must be new. And there is nothing new about indigenous knowledge. The minute you say it must be passed from generation to generation, you are saying it's old. It's old news. Everybody knows about it. And now, how then do you protect that which is old using a model that says it must be novel and already keep it out? So we still need to have this dialogue. And I really do take note of this overprotection of things. And I don't think that is the intention of the bill. The intention of this particular bill is to say, let the third party at least acknowledge the source or the origin of the knowledge. Where did they get this knowledge from? And where we don't seem to agree with the professor is the community where the knowledge comes from at least must be made shared. If my knowledge has been used and I was as poor as I am, at least I must get something out of it. It might not make me a millionaire instantly, but I must not be either worse off or be the same as I was before somebody used my knowledge. And that is more or less the backbone of this being. If we were to forget everything and anything about this being, what we are trying to promote here, which we must accept, we might not be doing it the right way, but it is a step in the right direction, we are saying South Africa is counted number 3 as one of the most negative biodiverse countries in the world, after Brazil and India. But that does not translate into any economic development. We might be maybe too comfortable in our home, thinking that somebody is going to do something for us and we'll get rich, and we don't come up with innovative ideas of working our own knowledge. But the reality is that we are not
getting any benefit out of the resources that are God-given. And we are saying, if then there's somebody who got a lead to say there is a resource somewhere that does this, at least for goodness sake, let that person either acknowledge where they got that knowledge from, and if possible, benefit share with that community in every way possible. We have used the Bonn guidelines in determining how this benefit sharing will happen. We are not even saying it will be in rand and cents all the time. There are a number of things that can happen. The third party might come up with a service, build schools, clinics, social responsibility, just to say, at least I also got something from this community, I must also pay back, or give back if paying back is a bad thing to do. About the universality of this bill, yes, it is true, as I was saying, it's going to be the first in the sub-Saharan region if it becomes a law. We were hoping to be the first. Now we are going to be the first that has collapsed all three texts together, because Kenya already has passed its Indigenous Knowledge Act. But what it did not do was to take into account traditional cultural expressions and genetic resources. So the IK bill, as it stands here, it talks to all three texts that are currently debated at WIPO. We more or less tried to preempt the outcomes of those debates. They have dragged for so long, and we know why. The reason why we haven't reached a consensus at WIPO to come up with an international legal binding treaty, it is because that treaty would shake the status quo in the same way that this IK bill is going to shake the status quo. It's going to challenge how things were done before, and things are going to be done differently, and that makes the biggest culprits unhappy. And that is why the process, they are deliberately dragging the process, so that today when we have our bill here, it does not affect others in other countries. But thanks to the Nagoya Protocol at least, because some of the issues that we are raising in the bill are already taken from the Nagoya Protocol that says we must regulate access to the resources. And we took that advantage to say there are resources that have indigenous knowledge associated with them. And where that is concerned, we will capitalize on the Nagoya Protocol and use the IK bill as a support base. I will stop there for now.
I'm going to go. Okay. Now I'm going to go from this side. so that I don't miss anyone and then get blamed that I don't see people. So I'm going to, I started on this side, so I'm going on this side now, and then I'll come back to this side. I can't. Okay. All right, so I see you at the back, number one, number two, number three. Is there anyone on this side still that needs to make a submission? All right, I'll come back to this side. Oh, can I just get an indication on this side? How many hands is this side? Okay, then if it's a... Okay. I'm going to leave you for last so that I give everyone an opportunity. So then it's 3 on this side, 4, 5, 6, 7, in that order. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You guys are fine with having eight questions just so that we can get everyone a chance. Okay. So you may start.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair's greetings to elders of the Khoi community and all indigenous communities that are present. I'm Tori Jenkins, the High Commissioner of the Goree Nakhona, and while we deeply acknowledge the significance of this bill as a step towards a post-colonial restitution of cultural management, and we accolade the attempts to try and find a way forward around this really complex cultural issue, there are a number of concerns that we would like to bring to the attention of the House. I think specifically dealing with the bill, if you move to Chapter 411C. Chapter 411C looks at the eligibility criteria for protection. And this says the protection of Indigenous knowledge contemplated in Section 9 applies to Indigenous knowledge which, one, has been passed from generation to generation, B, developed within an Indigenous community, and C, is associated with cultural and social identity of that Indigenous community. I speak on behalf of the Khoi, of the Goree Nakhona, when I think we would argue that this is a deeply and possibly divisive eligibility criteria, especially for Indigenous groups that are rising out of ethnocide, that are beginning to reimagine their histories that have been collapsed, destroyed for hundreds of years. And now with the resurgence of the political will and the fact that finally our constitution is allowing us to step back in, when we talk about developed within an Indigenous community or passed on from generation to generation, how do we define those where there is a huge gap from that generation to generation as a result of the kind of ethnocide? What it means is that you would have one Indigenous group that has an existing reservoir of knowledge and tools from which they can draw from to argue a sense of curatorship in as far as their ownership of culture and language is concerned. When we are dealing, for example, with the brethren of the Khoi who are sitting in the Cape Flats and who may, although instinctually and in terms of our genetic reality, have this connection to the Indigenous and to the Indigene, what does it mean when wild groups are now trying to reimagine a restorative way of what is it to be Khoi, of what is it to be Goree Nakhona? How does this particular criteria of protection protect, and who is it going to protect? And my fear is, and our fear is, that this protection is actually going to consolidate the already existing strengths of Indigenous groups that have and have been protected since 1994. And unless we really look at this criteria of protection in as far as what the eligibility is concerned, I feel that we're dealing with a cultural economy that is going to be incredibly divisive. The second thing that I'd like to draw to our attention is 7:4a, chapter 7:4a. So chapter 7 on 4, it says, this is the product development, commercialization, services and processes. 4D, it says no prior informed consent for the use of indigenous knowledge is required for non-commercial research purposes. I find this a highly contradictory addition, because what does it mean about the academic commodification that has taken place for the past 300 years with institutions extorting and dealing with indigenous knowledge? And because they are deemed as non-commercial research, what exactly does that mean? And how does non-commercial research purpose still protect the very institutions that does nowhere feature what is the interface between government curative institutions and indigenous knowledge systems? It doesn't actually feature within this bill. There is no check balance around that, and it seems that the non-commercial research purposes will still engage the non-profit, the non-governmental organization, the charity organization, the curious international organization that will come gather knowledge through observing our indigenous people and then writing a thesis and then being able to get a PhD in an Ivy League institution by being here for 3 weeks by literally observing African pain and therefore commodifying it to get into very difficult institutions overseas, because they have managed to put paper and the thesis to the observation of our indigenous pain. And so I would like us to just draw attention to 4D as a serious contestation which we would like to review. Further to that, I would just like to say that the curator idea and the trusteeship idea. The trustee, when we begin to look at stakeholding particular individuals who on behalf of an entire community will become the know-all and the is-all here of a cultural economy, means that we are empowering in a stakeholder type of way that could stifle in as much as it may protect. And I think that a deeper sense of ownership and design and co-design and intersubjectivity is perhaps needed in how we're going to develop the criteria of what is custodianship, in as far as that first port of call. Because when we have an individual who is called a trustee, we understand that this trustee then is nominated, and there's a presupposition in terms of what the qualifications of this trustee would be in as far as their idea and their buy-in from the community. Now, as the professor also said, some of which of his arguments I agree with, is that when we start looking at this franchise, it places the trustee in a very difficult situation, the curator in a difficult situation where it's a poisoned chalice. You can compare it to a ward councillor. A ward councillor is paid by a political party, paid by the city, and his mandate is by the community. When you have this trustee and curator type situation, you are developing portfolios that are poisoned and are chaliced. They are poison chalices, and these are going to be points of contention. I think an alternative suggestion is to have a broader consultative, much more participatory thing, because we have to understand that culture is not static. You cannot put a dollar bill or you cannot put a rand bill on where culture is now, when my understanding of what it is to be Goreng Ikona is going to completely change when I discover, as my history becomes more accurate, as the degree of ethnocide begins to unveil across my face, I will be able to locate specifically things and details and mysteries and magic which have not been at my access and currently at my doorstep. And so, again, while we completely agree in principle that it is time for us to take so seriously this intangible knowledge, this intangible history that we have, it is really important, as you say, if we are going to take the Nagoya Protocol, if we are going to take these things, we cannot condemn each other in terms of how we wish to share each other's cultures, when we will still allow those who took Sara Batman a very long time ago and who still have so many relics, so many bones, so many artifacts that belong to us and haven't been extradited and returned home. And so I think when we talk about our ownership and the vestige of what we have amongst one another, we have to ensure that from a post-colonial perspective, and as far as our foreign policy is concerned, that these things have to match up. Because it cannot be that a particular term or a particular bone only has relevance in this country, and when it crosses the border, suddenly that relevance begins to fade away. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very much. I just need to, before I allow the third person to speak, on a procedural point of view, I'm not going to allow the department to respond until I've taken all input, because I think it's important, as the last public participation process this evening, I think it's important that we as a committee capture all inputs for our deliberation for the negotiating mandate for the NCOP, which happens on Tuesday. So it's no disrespect to the department, but I just think it's important to get the committee, and if we have time left, then I'll allow you an opportunity. Ma'am? Oh, sorry, ma'am, before you guys was the gentleman next to, that was number two, you're number three, my apologies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gerard Niemand. I'm from the company Purus. I'm quite surprised by the fact that a full set of legislation that was passed since 2004 by the Department of Environmental Affairs, specifically the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act, and out of that, in 2008, several sets of regulations were passed and promulgated that deals with a considerable amount of what has been covered by the Department of Science and Technology with the proposed legislation we discussed tonight. Now, I must say, I've gone through the Science and Technology's proposed legislation, and I think it was a
great job that was done. Several aspects of what
okay,
was not covered by
the
regulation
that
was passed in 2008 is levendig. It's commercial bioprocessing,
It's been put on ice.
It's been suspended temporarily to also sort out some of the regulations that have been promulgated. I'm just concerned that we deal now in isolation with the environmental affairs
regulations
in place.
It's
working.
It's back.
Het
wordt niet eens overweegd, het wordt niet benoemd, maar ik wil voorstel, wat ik ook gehoord heb van de professor,
are falling in line and getting the next three agreements in place. And tonight we look at something very similar, and yet it feels to me in isolation. So, all that I'm asking Mr. Chairman and to the committee, can we just ensure that the departments all talk to each other? It becomes quite bewildering. If you read at the extensive nature of NEMBA and the regulations on bioprospecting and benefit sharing, which are good, I think it does a lot of good. I prefer to see NICTA tonight and what we're discussing here as complementary and and bringing more grief into the system and making it work. I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do, but that's my request. Please, that we should just take consideration of that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Can you hear me? Is it fine? Okay, thank you. My name is Bulisele Kamala Mkhlotho Makoko Jansuka ngapha eWest Coast. Andinamibuzo mininji ngaphezu kwentoba ndizawuba ne-comments. Okokuqala nje i-department kwi-questions zikaprofessor ndicela ize xa iphinda ibuyela iphendula phaa kulaa ndawo ebethe lo mthetho uyilwayo ucinga ngento yoba uzawusebenza qha apha eMzantsi Afrika ndicela phinda buyele phaa.
En weer dan alleenlik in Suid-Afrika sal bewerkstellig word. As ons dan praat van die hierdie inheemse kennis, dit is nie beskerm nie. As dit dan gebruik sal.
What I will say is, I'll ask again, when they speak of recognition, where the point is, the point is saying, we are the source, as we are source, all these things are being used, but we have to find prior informed consent. When it says that, when we are the source, we must be recognized. We are the subject experts in that field. When we are subject matter experts in that field, I think the things that we have, if you're going to speak of CETA or N2F, or you're going to speak of SAC, for understanding everybody, as if in the house we are interpreting, when we say we must, our positions are different when we talk about talking of land without compensation. When we are talking about South Africa only, we think this bill is not going to work. As only South Africans, I just want to make an example. As we are only if let me go and ask if you're gonna deliver a child before, you must say as if you know the doctor, you're not gonna be able to. Well, you know what you're gonna do. Even if you look at it inside, there was a person was saying there is grants that are needed. There is no grants that is needed. As indigenous knowledge is used by people that are foreign, but those people that are indigenous people, they're not getting anything. They're not gonna benefiting nothing. We must try to put it on the table and test it so that it can be an act, so there will be times when it can be amended. We must just stick to the communities. If they're not getting compensation, they must get recognition. If all of us are not going to say don't, we are saying all these things can be used by foreign people and we benefit nothing. Thank you very much. Ikamalako, George Magogoja. My name is George Magogoja. Busuku Bemvelo. Dimeleke abantu bebizwa ngoba zifinza. Ndiyafunika bulela ngelithuba lendinikiweyo apha ke. Ndifuna ukuqala ku-page 5. Ndifuna ukubuza ezinto zicacisiweyo ukuthi lo mthetho phambi koba ndifakele isingeniso sam ithetha ngokuhlobo ke wonke umntu owaziwayo abantu obaziwayo okokuqala baphucula okanye banembali yokuhlala kwindawo ethile kwiindawo ezibekiweyo apkudawo wasemzantsi afrika babonoswa ngendlela yokuhlala kwabo nezoqoqosho lwabo bohlulwa kwabanye ke abathile kwibakazwelonke konye babone bazazi bona baqinisekile bebonke beliqumrha elithile ke okanye beliqela elithile funeka kule bendawo othike sobuza umbuzo ngobani aba bezemveli basemzantsi afrika okanye basasemzantsi afrika ingaba le ngcaciso iyakwamkelwa ngabantu basemzantsi ngumqeqeqiseko wasemzantsi afrika okokuqala befuma sifunde lo mgaqosiseko ucacisa ukungenisa abantu bokuqala bezemveli balapha emzantsi ebizwa ngokuba k ezisen basemzantsi sibabulise ke sibakhahlele kabantu bathi lo mthetho uyilwayo uwakwaziwa ukuba sibe nayo ke ulwazi kodwa ayikwazi uthetha ke ngokubuyiselwa kwabantu basemvela ngolwazi lwabo belisenziwa ngeminyaka ababene-benefit ngolwazi lwethu loo nto siyikholelwa ukuba umthetho uyilwayo uza kube emveni koba ulungisiwe ngekutiyokube ibekho abantu bokuqala basemzantsi afrika abangafakwanga kumgaqosiseko wasemzantsi afrika kuba umgaqosiseko wasemzantsi afrika awuthethi esiniki singaciso ngobani abantu bezemveli balapha ke nangona nomgaqosiseko nayo uba abantu bokuqala basemzantsi afrika yiyo le nto ka kukho ibulletin ayingathethi ngokubuyiselwa kwabantu bokuqala bezemveli babizwe ngoba babizwe ngoba ngabantu bemveli bona indisa ke loo nto kwisingeniso namhlanje ngokuthanda usenza ilungelo lomasiko nokwahlula ke kozibizwa sinelungelo ke lobona kubantu ke bokuqala abantu bezemveli bantu elo lungelo lidibanisa lokukwazi ulwazi lwethu lwezemveli kwaye kubalulekile buuqinisekisa ukuba sonke thina singakuphila ubusidima sethu njengabantu nakwinkcubeko nokwaziwa kulwazi lwethu kuyokuhlukana kwethu fakiweyo kumithetho yehlabathi ekhona xa sithetha ngokusetyenzisana ilungelo lokwazi lokuvuyiselela lokuhlubalalana ukwazi kwezamasiko nezenkcubeko nomkululeko nendlela yokuzilawula ezimeleyo. ilungelo lokuzimukwazi uzilawula ngendlela efaneleyo abantu.
Is a right that is considered to be the foundational right of all indigenous people, which is required for the effective enjoyment of other individuals and a collective right. UNRIP recognized this need to promote the meaningful participation of indigenous people, and I really want to establish a difference here, that I'm speaking specifically of the first indigenous people, in decisions that have a direct impact on our lives. It is therefore my submission that this bill, before it speaks of indigenous communities, first have to acknowledge the first indigenous people. And unless they do it, it takes the silence that the Constitution brings to us. And it implants that silence, which we believe is a constitutional right that we as the first indigenous people deserve to have. We must speak. Our self-determination, by enabling us to speak, makes our people, or give our people the right to take control over our own lives and our future and the right to our knowledge. And it is therefore a matter of basic human dignity and empowerment. The autonomy of self-government for the first indigenous people and for our rights is a matter relating to our internal and local affairs. And it brings us to the respect for our principle of free, prior and informed consent. Now when we come to informed consent, when I received this invitation to come and make comments, my consent to draft a bill was not questioned. And therefore it breaks the very fact and fundamental right of the first indigenous people to give you consent. In other words, when you come and draft a bill, you cannot bring me a bill that you did not consent me about. We had no prior consent in the drafting of what is ours. The indigenous knowledge belongs not to the government of South Africa, but to the people, the indigenous people of South Africa. And therefore, it is my contentment that our free, prior and informed consent, which is a constitutional right of every person within South Africa, this bill has failed. Meaningful participation requires the ability of indigenous people not only to be heard, but to be genuinely be able to influence decision-making and in a way that is seen as effective means of combating the legacy of exclusion and marginalization affecting indigenous people throughout the world. Me saying this, it comes to the question. When the drafters of this bill wanted to say anything about our indigenous knowledge, who did they consult with? Let me make an example. If you came to me, since we as the first indigenous people lack a lot of knowledge, we would have asked our brothers and sisters from across the waters to come and assist us in drafting a bill that will be applied to our being. This, we believe, has not been done, and therefore participation or meaningful participation lacks here. The right to development, if we look at the bill and the first, when you open the first page, reads as follows. And it's important that we understand this. When we open this document, it says that this bill have a desire to protect, to promote, and to develop. Now let us look at the right to develop. Article 23 of UNDRIP speaks concerning this right. It guarantees the right of indigenous people to determine and develop priorities and strategies for the exercising of their rights to develop. As described earlier, centuries of discrimination by one of my colleagues here have caused centuries of discrimination and has resulted in the deprivation and the marginalization of indigenous people, and again, specifically the first indigenous people, leading to a socio-economic culture and political challenges that we face on the Cape Flats called poverty and genocide. The right to develop.
We as the indigenous people have lost much. I think I will not have to continue on the tone that my learned colleague expressed from the Gorenai Corner House. These are evidence, and it's true. We do not have a lot of our indigenous knowledge because it was stolen. It was robbed from us. And this bill do not speak to that robbery. It doesn't speak to that illegal and injustice that we as the first indigenous people and indigenous people of Southern Africa have suffered. It have to speak to that. It have to keep those accountable that have robbed us from what is ours, our indigenous knowledge and our indigenous rights. According to the special reporter, Rodolfo Stavenhagen, the first that he says is the intention to modernize indigenous communities. And then he continues, he says, while the second is as a result of development policies which have failed to address the structural causes of marginalization. Let me bring it to your house. Rooibos. Salt. Nothing has really been done, and therefore we salute this bill. But if you're going to do something for us for the future, you cannot forget our past. You therefore have to, this bill have to, by right, speak to what has been taken from us. It have to. It cannot continue to wipe the past and colonialist robbery and deceit under the mat and think that our future will be better when we cannot look to our past. Let me make it very clear to you, the first indigenous people of South Africa will never forget what has been robbed and stolen from us. Never. The right to access of land, I know I've heard that he will not address it, but you cannot. You cannot wipe that away when you speak of indigenous knowledge. Because our indigenous knowledge, sir, has to do with our excess of land. It speaks to that which drove from the land. It speaks of that which you will take out from the land. The Hudia, our healing, comes from this earth. And therefore the right to access for the first indigenous people and authorities and natural resources again is protected by international law, and it has been recognized as the right of indigenous people to land, territories and natural resources. This bill therefore have to speak to our right to our land. Our land. Our land. Indigenous people are dependent on excess of land. Today we witness the grabbing of land. Land that belonged to who? Traditional territories and natural resources for economic survival and development, the right to self-determination again, and the ability of indigenous people to practice their culture and their traditional ways of life. And the lack of access therefore threatens the survival of indigenous people as a distinct group. You see, you're speaking of distinct groups, but you're lacking the ability to protect us from the very distinction that we have, the governance and consultation and participation, as I come to a close. The indigenous First Nation people have a right to develop, to maintain and use their own, and this is the key. You see, this bill takes away our right to develop. It takes away our right to maintain, and it takes away our right to use our own social, economic and cultural and political institutions. It takes that right away because it wants to give us structures that you have deemed fit we need. We have traditional leaders, chiefs, paramounts, kaibias, that know what they can teach us. We have our own structures that is disrespected by the very government that wants to bring for us and protect our rights. We therefore want to make it clear to you as indigenous people, we have the right to develop, maintain and make use of our own social and economic, cultural and political institutions that can protect our knowledge. What do we need therefore? We need a bill that will empower us. We need a bill that will help our chiefs so that they can be able to protect us from the common robbery of after so many years here, still being stolen, our indigenous knowledge And again, we salute you for taking this opportunity. One of the requirements of Article 18 of UNDRIP is that indigenous people must be involved in the identification of election of representatives, in the decision-making bodies themselves. We must. We must be able to make the choice ourselves. We cannot allow government, as much as we respect government, we cannot allow government to make choices for us. We have leaders, we have chiefs to make those decisions on behalf of our communities. The failure to meaningfully engage with the indigenous communities and to ensure adequate participation and the consultation with vulnerable groups result in policies and programs which may not be appropriate, culturally acceptable, or effectively addressing the concerns of the first indigenous nation when it comes to the protection of our indigenous knowledge. If you look today here, our people don't have money to come here. The time that you have here have made us or gave us the opportunity to come and give submissions. The time, there's no public transport. There's thousands of indigenous people in Guguletu, in Khayelitsha, in Easter River, that have a right to come and say what they want to say here. And they are not being given an opportunity tonight. And therefore, you fail your obligation constitutionally that we as first indigenous nation have the right to participate in meaningful commentary given here. Formal recognition is therefore a crucial first step. Does this bill recognize us, the Khoikhoi and San, as the first indigenous people? Should our rights not be protected in this bill first? Let me conclude by saying this. When the Deputy Minister Obat Babela on the 27th of 11th, 2016 spoke to the National Assembly concerning the First Nation and the right of the Khoikhoi and San people to be recognized by this government as the first indigenous nation, he made the following statement. And this is the deputy minister. He said that we cannot accept or we cannot dare to acknowledge the Khoikhoi and San as the first indigenous nation. And then he gives a reason. As I conclude, he gives the reason why. He says the following: the reason why the government cannot acknowledge the Khoikhoi and San as the first indigenous people is because that this government will have to give back, number one, their land, their indigenous knowledge, and this status will give them the right to wealth. This is unconstitutional. This is injustice. This is unfair. And because it must be...
Can I ask you to wrap up?
This is the last sentence, I promise you. Because we must and have the first right to our acknowledgement. We cannot have the first right to our indigenous knowledge. We are the first indigenous nation of Southern Africa, and our rights have the right to be respected. Thank you.
All right. So I see your hand at the back. When you went out, I gave numbers, so we will get to you. Can I please ask the rest of the submissions to get to the point concise so that we can give everyone a chance? If you would please work with me.
Thank you very much. I'm Janusz Luterek. I'm a patent attorney. Been practicing for about 20 odd years in this field. I'd just like to start off by saying, first of all, I very strongly support the principle of the IKS bill. I think it's a very, very good idea. I heard what the professor said regarding the overlap with DTI's attempts. Simply the professor left out the reference to the very, very bad draft copyright amendment, which is even worse than the other stuff. But let me not go down that route. In March, there was a bioprospecting in Durban, in East London, which was organized by the Department of Environmental Affairs. There were several thousand people present there. In fact, I think I recognize some of the faces which are here. What is very, very concerning, and to follow on from my colleague Gerard Niemand over there, is that there's a complete discontinuity. The government departments, each one does their own thing in the same sandpit, and it's a very serious problem. To go down to detail, we have issues such as use of different terminology for essentially the same things. So in the Bioprospecting Act, NEMBA, as it's known by its acronym, and the benefit-sharing regulations thereunder, certain terms are used. In the IKS bill, other terms are used. The same things are being regulated. Permits have to be applied for under NEMBA. Licenses will have to be obtained under the IKS bill for the same things. The real difficulty we have is that I see from people in industry that are really struggling to get permits to be able to just do business. For the benefit of everybody, let's be clear here, people should be given what they do. But if nothing happens, nobody gets anything. And if you can't get permits, nothing happens. I think that the only act dealing with this subject matter should in fact be the IKS bill. And there should be a one-stop shop where companies know with certainty they can go and approach a body like NICSO and get all the paperwork sorted out, get the permits they need so that they can get on with business. And from that business, the indigenous communities will get their benefit sharing. But it's got to be able to happen quickly and efficiently. If it goes the way of the DEA process, it's doomed. So there are companies that have tried for 5-6 years to get a permit to be able to deal with aloe. You know, we're talking here about industries that have existed that employ a lot of labor, indigenous communities which suddenly have been told they can't really continue anymore because they're actually now illegal because they don't have the permits. So I'm really not going to talk much longer because I know we're short on time, but I really think that the DST actually did do this the right way. I support what they did. I think an interministerial committee of sorts must be set out which can transfer responsibility from the DEA to the DST on the managing and regulating of this entire sphere. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Yeah.
Good evening. So my name is Jonathan Muller, and I'm from the Tram tribe and Khoisan, living here in the Western Cape. And my submission is as follows. First of all, you know, I think there's a lot of, there seems to be a lot of pride around the development of this bill. And so we try to pride ourselves on being the first. I was hoping that we would pride ourselves on trying to be the best and the most honest. And that doesn't seem to be the way that we're going. Now, you're speaking, well, the submissions that have been made up ahead speaks as though they are speaking about us in mind. Hulle praat nie van ons nie. Hulle praat nie van ons nie. Why do I say that? Kijk dit hier wat die dame gesê het. Where did they do the testing of the pilot project for indigenous knowledge? In the Northwest, in Limpopo, and in Venda. And where does the knowledge lie? And in Noordkap, in here, and in the Eastern Cape. So first of all, you've broken our trust. Am I correct? Khoisan? The bill doesn't. The second comment that was made was that what this bill deals with is not similar to what other departments deal with. I tell you, it's not just not similar, it's not in line. Because if you look at the recommendations made by the Human Rights Commission, dan kom ons hier om ons regte verkoop hier by julle nie. We're not coming to discuss how we can give away our indigenous knowledge to you. We're not here for that. The knowledge belongs to us. We the indigenous people. It's ours. So, I think we must start to realize that there is too much variance. There is too much ifs and buts and this is and that as far as this bill is concerned. Because, first of all, I can tell you, we were not consulted. No one came to ask us. They're talking about us, but they're not talking to us. About things that belong to us. For example, let me give you a good example. You know the geranium. That case that happened in the Eastern Cape where the lady was is now exporting geranium to Germany as though it is their indigenous knowledge. And guess what the court, they said at the end of the court case? It wasn't the intellectual, it was never the intellectual property of the Khoisan people. Ah, come they down. And the case closed, and it was gone. I'm telling you now, there's going to be problems if we don't get access as indigenous people. We don't want to share our money with any other people here. Let's be clear on that. We're not here to share the benefits of rooibos tea and of aloe and of all of those other indigenous products. We're not here to share it with other people. Let's just talk about us first, the indigenous people. Enough is taken from us. We're not here to discuss how you want to give away our knowledge, our indigenous property, by coming with this lovely bill. We reject this bill. We don't want this bill. And we're not going to, and please don't mix words here, don't mince words. We're talking about indigenous knowledge here, we're not talking about traditional medicines. Okay, don't compare our medicines to people selling their tartans from Scotland. This is not the tartan, this is my culture. This is not the Rocky. This is my culture you're talking about. Don't compare it to a t-shirt that says New York. It's not the same thing. You're talking about the people here that was robbed of land and continue to be robbed of land. You're talking about the people whose right to land was taken away and access to land was taken away. You know what? I would think that the first thing we need to do to prove a point as indigenous people is to start cutting the fences. We don't want to be commercialized. Don't think that we are going to be happy when we are discussed overseas and they're wearing our stuff overseas and our garments. Do you know what I'm a tourist guide. I'm a national tourist guide. I travel all over the country. Do you know what they sell a himba skirt for? 35,000 rand. Do you think somebody took off their traditional skirt and said to somebody, go and sell this for me? A seal. You know how they're stealing, our stuff? When you're lying in the ground, please take note. If you lie in the ground in this country for more than 100, in the ground, sorry, it is a grave site. Do you know that if you lie in the ground for more than 100 years, you're an object? SARA, the South African Heritage Resource Act, says that you are an object. They can go and dig you up. Where do you think they get the artifacts from? They have the right in this country to go and dig you up and use whatever it was buried, what you were buried with, to go and sell on the open market. Our things, you know what, I spoke to a lady at the bookshop, a bookshop now in Neisner.
Sir, I don't want to break your word, but I just want to...
You are, sir, but I'm going to finish now. The gentleman says that nothing, if nothing is developed, there'll be the benefits to nobody. I tell you what, sir, with all due respect, give us our land back and I'll tell you, it'll be a benefit to us all. The people who are selling from Purus, the gentleman there is gone. He's talking, you see, when they discuss the future of this country, they talked about what white people want and what black people want. They never consulted us. Now I'm going to ask, in closing, sir, in respect to your request, in closing I want to say that the people who are wanting this law passed and that law passed to streamline their business is the people that have land and so they can do business. We don't have land, So we don't have business. And I'm going to appeal to our black brothers and sisters tonight and just say to you, you know, don't, never mind what government says, you know what is right and wrong. We are cousins. You know what is right and wrong. And I want to appeal to you not to support this bill. Let's begin with what is right. Let's first talk to one another and let's not give in to this type of criminality. Khoisan, I thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Can I just get an indication of who still wants to make a submission? And I please ask you to please work with me, because we have now reached 8 o'clock, to please keep it to the point, to the submission. So this is the last round. So I'm going to leave you for last, because you had an opportunity to speak. So it's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that would be the final round. There's no further submissions. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right, please go. Sir?
Goeienaand, ek wil net eers baie dankie sê vir die geleentheid. Om hier te kom, was baie moeilik. Ek was al 10 jaar die proces, we just now get put on the petition and let it publish for our children, brothers and sisters. In 2001, World Admin Professor that says, we indigenous people are going to govern ourselves and been looking and watching. And through the parts and bits of bulbs, we do want to govern ourselves. But I do have a stern warning for the ESC and also for the DA that they must acknowledge the God's faith. We are still pressing it on that one. Mandela said, never, never one people be oppressed by another. We are being oppressed first of all. It's the chief that we admit we are not acknowledged. Or for the Iskemi, or for the slaves. And what can we all create or what artifacts by scaling us only the person in existence who should be coming for the club? Even if we stop the population of the food that we will put up the group of slaves like the army. Right. Or whether they are chief or not, or even if they are just explained to, we cannot protect anything if we don't own it. Rhode Island Party, first of all, the first chief, it was the president was quite that chief, it was the president there before the political persons come there. Then there is Taylor Mountain, called Precious Sweetwater. Do we benefit from Taylor Mountain and all those other mountains? We don't benefit. We don't know what happened, 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 what happened,
Meneer, jammer. Kan jy net terugsit van die mikrofoon, want die translations kan nie opgetel word. Dit is nie nodig vir harte, dit is die mikrofoon.
Kan jy my nou hoor?
Meneer, die vertalers kan nie hoor.
Wat ek wil sê op hierdie wetgewing, nee? Eerstens, ek het heel veel verskil, en ek wil eerst dink om van die eerste vier gewees het daar om tegen die dame te praat, nee? Die te sê, jy kan nie iets beskerm as jy dit nie besit nie. Jy kan nie iets bevorder as jy dit nie besit nie. The promotion, you cannot promote anything if you don't own it.
Right now, don't own anything. We cannot promote anything if we don't own it.
We need to own vast stretches of land, especially the mountains and then the rivers, because we need to initiate, we also initiated before the white men came, killed us, in the run, drive out, or almost killed our culture. We need land to initiate. We need money to initiate. We are not recognized as a people, therefore we get no money for traditional affairs, or super geld for traditional zaken. Onze geld, zaken moeten beschermen, zoals praat van geld. Dan praat ik van miljoenen randen op die bestaande wetgeving wat daar is. Kijk die boegenplant. Want die boegenplant, onze geld moeten beschermen.
Meneer, kan ik u vragen, alsjeblieft, Klaas, op je laatste zin, want als andere mensen wat open is, dat niet
maakt. Ons aanvaarden die wetgeving zonder geld, want hoe gaan onze geld hier zonder geld? Zoals ik zei, die kankergrootte, Robben Eiland, die tafel werd als eerste drie wat ons zoekt, daarna komen die bergen en die rivieren wat ons moet gaan initiëren. Ons moet ons een kwartier oefen, hoe kan ons oefen zonder geld? Ons kan niet boven al die mensen wat weet waar is, of ons nou kan jachten zoals in die gewoonte in die verleden gedoen het, we niet door hand, we are handers.
Oké, baie dankie meneer, die volgende persoon.
Hi, good evening, my name is Carla Randall.
Your microphone alsjeblieft, dankie.
Hi, good evening, my name is Carla Randall. I was the first IKS coordinator of the Western Cape, so Our documentation center sits within an NPO, which for me I consider as a private institution. Also, currently, Chief Pum Mooney is partaking in the documentation of knowledge as well, indigenous knowledge to say. So, yeah, by the looks of it, it looks like now you know what's happening within the Western Cape also. With me, the problem with our bill is with all these loopholes, it's basically it legalizes biopiracy. And the only employment or work the youth will ever get is documenting the knowledge. Because you cannot accredit people if you don't know what they know. And you're only in the process of getting to know the people. The other thing is, most importantly, you're documenting indigenous knowledge, but you don't have a definition for indigenous, let alone community. So there's certain terminology which is totally lacking within the bill, but yet you are documenting knowledge under, let's say, false pretenses, because you're not giving recognition to who indigenous people are. So you have a very open and vague term, like one of your previous definitions for community, you refer to it as a community of practice. So my understanding of a community is not really a community of practice, but a community is where you have people living, growing together, communicating, as opposed to what you would term a community of practice is a group of artists, a group of healers. So that is something totally different to what a community, is. And also to the point, knowledge is collective, it's not individual. So the other issue in the bill is the chief cannot become the beneficiary of whatever benefits there are of the knowledge. It should go to the community. In the bill, you should also have looked at benefit sharing prior relinquishing knowledge, because by all means, we have the right to negotiate benefit sharing prior releasing or documenting knowledge. It would save you the issues that we have today of access to benefit sharing, especially in the sense that you are not considering the emerging cultures, because now you're only considering the NKC or the referendum that you're dealing with and negotiating with regards to access to benefit sharing. And for me, the issue is this. These are people that have no indigenous knowledge or active participation in indigenous knowledge. Myself, I'm a practitioner of indigenous knowledge. Then when you look at indigenous knowledge, you need to look at food as well. Currently, the bill looks at everything, but currently our focus is only on medicinal plants. Yes, you don't say it is. Currently the focus is on medicinal plants, but at the later stage you need to look at fishes, you need to look at food, you need to look at constellations, you need to look at stuff like tracking. There's a whole lot of things which you're not looking at, but you're so flippant to pass the bill. You need to look at the land, like the traditional leadership bill. You need to look at the environmental act as well. There's a lot of bills which you are, the idea behind this is good, but it's not well thought out, because there's so many loopholes, different departments which have not been consulted, or there's no input from other departments. It's like something that has been sucked out of your thumb. And one of the biggest concerns for me is the fact that NICSA has been granted, I'm forgetting the word, but NICSA is considered to be a living entity. In other words, someone gave birth to it. And for me, that's impossible, because it's also a load of rubbish, because as a person, a living entity, the thing that you do most is communicate by talking. So they already have a loophole in protecting and preserving our knowledge, because the bill is a waste of time. It legalizes biopiracy. It doesn't protect our knowledge. It doesn't protect the people. Not giving people recognition, not even thinking about the people when it comes to benefit sharing.
So the idea is, to wrap up, please.
What are you going to do to address this instead of painting pretty pictures around it?
Thank you very much. Next gentleman.
Thank you very much. My name is Anthony Williams. I'm from Indigenous First Nation Advocacy South Africa.
Somebody's cell phone is ringing close to a microphone.
It's not mine. Someone else's. Must be.
All right.
Okay, thank you. I think
It's important that we won't make the full submission because of time.
Submission you can.
We'll submit it.
You
yes.
can still submit.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I think what we want to do is just to put on record a couple of things that we have got some serious reservations. And one of them is that we have, since the beginning of the invitation, we've consistently said that the time that was set for this meeting has prejudiced, you know, the majority of the indigenous First Nation people. And so we think it's important that we put that on record again here tonight, number one. Number two is also the location, you know, where we have located this meeting, as again, it's going to be very difficult for the Western Cape legislator, you know, to qualify this meeting as a you know, meaningful, substantial engagement, you know, with the indigenous people of the province. And the reason why we say that is because you have located this meeting, you know, outside, far away, far removed from the masses of this people that this conversation seeks to engage. So so that we can just have that on record as well. Thank you very much. I want to agree that you know, if we can to allow this bill, you know, to succeed, this bill will then we will then help be accomplished in legislating you know, robbery. That because that's all that this bill is going to do. You've heard some of the leadership here mentioned already tonight that we in particular, the indigenous First Nation people, we can't accept this bill because the bill, you see, once you accept this bill, then you begin to accept that the constitution of the country is recognizing us, you know, adequately. And we are very clear that the constitution of South Africa needs to be amended. That's where this entire process has got to start. And for that reason, if NASA would want to, you know, reject this bill, you know, with contempt, you know, that it deserves. There is perhaps just a question as we conclude, because we won't engage the bill, we will just ask a question. Is it perhaps possible for us to also understand, you know, what would the entire commercialization that has happened in terms of IKS, people who has been benefiting, big firms who has been benefiting, what this bill is not even addressing those issues, is not even talking about, you know, all those big businesses like Pfizer and the guys who has been benefiting for years and years and years, you know, that. So could we just perhaps in passing just get some clarity on that? But we have rejected the bill with contempt. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The lady next to you.
Good evening. I am here as the representing the Paramount Chief of Run. I'm the PA of the Paramount Chief of Run of the, and also the Chief of the Gorungai Corner. I'm here with Torik and Kim as well. And I just have one point to make here. Everybody has made very good points, and thank you for the initiatives. And I also concur with Carla Randall on many points, so I'll leave those out. I just want to say that when this bill is passed, and if it does get passed, and it's then promulgated into an act, it's going to take time. And I would like to state that please let us not allow the process to stagnate by only having the office operational on promulgation of the act. We need to have an interim office. We require a provision for an interim office that can operate with an advisory body and a special delivery action unit for permit certification, knowledge collation, benefit sharing, biopiracy, and things like that, so that the whole reason behind the bill is not left behind by waiting for the acts to be promulgated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, it's your turn.
Molele. Ikamalam ndingupindile kamtonga. Ndisuka kwi traditional healers organization. Lo mthetho uyilwayo ubonakala ngathi thina abantu abazinyanga.
Doctors, people who works with roots,
you don't involve us. Because what is happening, the government is saying, he says we have a bill that we are playing, but he has finished already to make it an act, as if act is a bill, but he's finished already. He just wants to use our brains so that what people must say, this bill, it would be good if it was going to go out to the owners, the people of South Africa, the owners of the things that are going to be used. Not that you can make decisions that we want to make a bill of this act. The act does not come to us as witch doctors. For example, witch doctors, when they come to court, they are not allowed to come in. When they're going to the hospitals, they are chased away. You'll find out that other people of other nations, they are just going in, even court, they go in with their heads, but us witch doctors, we are not allowed in. Even at home, we're not allowed with the medicines that we have to help people that are sick or those. They say we must bring the West and medicine. Also the people from the government following these people, they should show this it's maybe cancer, how do you heal cancer, but you must be quiet, that we'll give you some money. This bill is not you must go back and tell and consult us, consult the chiefs and consult the ancestors and the witch doctors so that they will know about this bill and so that they can agree with that. Don't say that you're just blinding us. You've already finished and made a decision on this. You have already made a decision about this bill. Thank you very much. Professor Ngumntu Gqibela.
We're looking at this from our international relations perspective, and of course there are very sensitive local issues here, and on that level I must say that every provision in the bill is potentially contentious and potentially deeply divisive for communities here. And I don't envy anybody who sits on Nixo, because there are going to be fights galore, right? So maybe this whole thing should have been preceded by finding out, having a repository of knowledge and that type of thing. That's where the money should have been spent. From the international perspective about Big Pharma coming in, I think the debate is rather skewed or maybe not properly identified, in the sense that it seems to be a zero-sum game. Big Pharma winner, local community loser. And I don't think that assessment is necessarily correct. Let's take Hoodia, for example. If it was the miracle drug for whatever drug company paid, today we live in a world where things are premium based on organic, natural, and so forth. So let Pfizer or whichever drug company make the synthetic product. That doesn't stop our local communities from growing the natural organic product and selling it. So potentially a big drug company is actually creating a market for the natural product, which our people can exploit. So let's not see it as a winner-takes-all or zero-sum game. The point, and the other thing is, the problem I have with government is its schizophrenic attitude to a lot of things. If I mention something now, I'm sure I'm going to get support. Why is government fighting the legalization of cannabis? There is a natural product with known benefits. The world is legalizing it. We are fighting our own people. I'm just going to leave it there.
I think they were the last hand. So I'm going to say, if you says, bleep met myself werk, let in it. Ons het al reeds oor tyd, maar ek gaan vir jy geleentheid gee. Okay, you can have an opportunity.
Meneer Spruis.
My name is Koitiki van Mosselbay. Abe Dorby. Hier was de mensen. Als ik maar net kan teruggaan op die marine wette, dan vat ik maar onze halve dorpen van die Weskus Mosselbay ingesluit. Ons mensen mag hier eens meer door hierdie wette rock fishing doen, waar hulle een leven van gemaakt het. Onze hengelaars is weggevat. Hulle is bezig nou om onze rechten op en die moet plant dat weg te vat. Alles gaan mik op wie? Op die eerste nasie. Mensen, kom ons in neem, man. Dankie.
Dankie, meneer.
Baie dankie. My naam is Hermanus Baatjes. Ek is die paramount chief vir die Kanehuis, Kambusman Nasie, Southern Africa continent. Ja, het is so, die bal is vir ons een goeie ding, een voorkeur, maar daar is baie leemtes binnen hierdie bal, wat vir ons een beetje baie uncertain is.
So that we see our rights, our indigenous things, we are still playing, we're sitting with people, we are not educated, other people stopped from grade 2, from school. This thing, it means that you must have education, higher education, but we are the people who have been exploited or disadvantaged. When we are talking about things that are natural, because academics, they see opportunities when we come with our own natural technology, but there is also the selling of these things, all our needs. There must be a way that protect our herbs and medicines for the person that has dropped from grade 4 from the school. He's not wise by intellect, but he's got natural abilities. That person must be protected. Who has a right to, for these people, or they must also look at the education. When you look at people, old people from our side, you'll find that those people, they have knowledge of indigenous knowledge, but why they compare us with the people who have academic certificates? We must look after the people that, how can we work together as a people? Thank you very much. I will want to greet you. I want to greet everyone. I have listened here your ideas and the way you think. But I want to say, as we're sitting here as a committee, the people are too and the champion. This bill is not our bill, but we are talking, we want to come, but the process is going on, we want you to be part of it. When I'm listening at it, then I hear that you do not want this law, that you see people clapping hands and agreeing before, because this bill, there was nothing, there was an idea. Because the idea that was before, that was people must come here so that we can hear there, to see that how can we work together. Now I'm a Khoisan, and we are saying that we have been forgotten. Now we have given a right that the government saying, I'm listening to you. I want us to work together, and then you come with your ideas so that can be able to be acknowledged as all. This is the process it helps us as the people, because it doesn't have this time. So we say that we can fight and fight each other here, but we are the leaders who have answered. All of us, you are as leaders, you want to develop, and don't people that want to distract things. That's why I'm saying you must be acknowledged. But to be acknowledged, it doesn't discriminate another, but it makes all of us, we must be equal. That is why I'm asking you that when this get this opportunity, we must use it, and then we must give it our ideas and our views here and our knowledge, and then they must record all these things. When this end of the day, everything that you put in here, when you have agreed and your knowledge and your understanding, we must combine those things so that we can come with one decision. It will be helpful to all of us. And then you people, now you fight us. It doesn't help to fight us, because we must assist each other here, so that we must work together here. I want people to understand this. This is the way we can negotiate things. It's not about fighting here, but we must combine and make it unify this thing and make it concrete, and it will help all of us. I want to say also, Mr. Out, can you help us?
Meneer, het is nog een mooie gevraagd. Maar die regering...
If you said well, the government... But the government doesn't acknowledge people from indigenous culture. There's nothing, I'm not hearing what I say. I'm not hearing what are you saying.
As die grootste gesamme, die hete kwaad, die inkwaad, die kroppe kwaad, hulle noem ons kijkskoois, en dan die boesman, dit is die vijfste stam wat hulle toe sê, dit is waar die bekleid aan gaat. Nou, die aarde stam bekleid, die stam, die stam bekleid, die stam, die stam bekleid, die stam.
The nations are fighting, but the other nation is fighting the other.
Wat ons moet maak, en ons sê, nee, dit stop nou net. Ek het sien, ek het sien, Henry David Alcoe de Second Solomon, van die Hesse Koa. En ek sê, ons stof het net.
Ek
het
wel net weg, hoe is dit? Oké. Thank you. We will stop here, but thank you. Is jy daar toe? With your permission, Chairperson, I want to raise one thing which is very important. I'm listening about the division up here because of the nations or the groups, different groups. But here, I've got an idea in my head under this situation, because of the procedure, because the thing that has been said by the professor, and according to the bill, I'm saying the one question is, we're speaking about the question that is, question about the bill, is about the bill, is about the bill, is it this bill going together with the constitution? I don't have a problem with that. But there is a gentleman here was talking about herbs from indigenous people under the ground. He had a motion here. This nature here is taking. I didn't get his name. It is very important that the herbs that can heal people must be given to, must be recognized or must be looked at. I want to. There is no communication. There is no communication or dialogue between. You'll find out that because people of Western Cape are killing each other and there's violence, it's because people are not communicating, because they do respect each other because of their indigenous knowledge.
The formulation of this law, because if it was not formed and the public hearings were not held, ons sal eers geweet het dat daar is die first indigenous people. Dit het gehelp dat julle moet uitkom. U sê dat dit julle was nie geconsult nie. Waar moet hulle geweet het?
You say people there was no consultation, but the bill of like this, because it's not brought to people, because we will never know about the people, the first people or second people or the third people, but because of this bill from the national government until the province, is the bill open that people must come here so that we can understand this. This bill. This thing. When the paper is still white, it's still on the process of being the bill. That we can protect our generations. The thing is, there is no, you can sell this, our herbs, for example, that you have rooted from the underground without your consultants. But the people can take your knowledge from your indigenous knowledge and sell it, but this person can be not, but this is your thing that you brought it up, because there is no law that protect you. Members, we have come to the end of the public hearing. This is the fourth here public hearing. There was in Owen, in Olson, Friedenberg, in Caledon, here in Cape Town. There was a meeting, public hearings, four public hearings. They were advertised in the newspapers, on all municipalities, and to some centers, and all libraries. We think it's important that we must state that so that it can be recorded. I would want to use this time to thank everyone, the department. Thank you very much that you came here, you took speak here, and the community and the committee. Thank you the way you disciplined yourself. I think because after you finish, you go to your places, especially you'll say in the Western Cape, they are very important people, they are humble people. As you, the committee, I'm saying thank you by your responsibilities. What is important about your communities, you coming from your countries, so that you can put in your ideas on this bill. Thank you very much. And all the people that come from afar with your vehicles, so that you can put have an input in this bill. I think the advocate Max has said that we are here so that we can be your representatives. We didn't come to represent the department or the legal people, but we are here to stand for you or to represent you. We are the parliament. We are not legal people. It's not our law this, but we hope that this communication today, when we give us for the last input in the house, we'll take it and have a look at it and review it, so that it can be not be just an act, but it can be, but it will be an act in benefits for all the people. We thank you very much, so people that are coming up from afar. And we as workers, as a committee, thank you very much, Wasima, Lizette, and your old team, and Tula, we thank you very much. We thank you for you ensuring that we have people at the public hearing of the bill, people from the indigenous people, we are successful.
Edmund.